Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And now, are you effing kidding me? With JoJo from Jury's.
Much of the world has changed since 2016. We can order food with our faces now. You can buy Dr. Pepper flavored Peeps. I didn't say you should, just that you could. Britney Spears got emancipated, got married, and got divorced again. Hillary Clinton is back from her walk in the woods. 10-year-old girls have skincare regimens. There's Zoom work and Zoom school, Zoom dates and divorce court. The green M&M wore sensible shoes. The Redskins became the Commanders. The Indians became the Guardians. And the Chiefs, well, they stayed the Chiefs while serving as a crucial arm of the years-long deep state psyop to defeat Donald Trump by engineering the ascension of the most chart-topping female pop star in history, while also orchestrating repeated Super Bowl wins for one of this country's most successful professional football teams at the same time. Avocado toast comes on cauliflower crust, Beyonce sings country, and an app called TikTok is the cultural phenomenon we never knew we needed because, frankly, we probably don't. All of this as the world turns and inevitable change ebbs and flows and the hands of time transform our existences in big ways and small, some imperceptible, some impossible to ignore. Our kids grow up, our parents grow old, our faces sag, our eyesight fades, our patience wanes, our bottoms widen and our bellies grow. Time is a relentless force flowing like a river with no regard for our desires or plans. There's so much change in the world, you often don't know what to expect. You can't guess at what might be coming next. It's a mystery shrouded in the mist of uncertainty and molded by the hands of chance and fate unfolding day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, until it finally comes into view and often catches you off guard. Such is life. Except that is when it comes to Donald Trump. That fucker hasn't changed since he first came down that dumbass gilded escalator. He hasn't changed since they're not sending their best and Mexicans are rapists and lock her up. He hasn't changed since he first started the double-fisted jerk and twist all those years ago because he's still doing the double-fisted jerk and twist to this very day, albeit jerking is far less vigorous than it once was, and the twist is more of a tilt nowadays. We're still talking about a guy who is still painting himself neon orange, still swooping the same 6 hairs into that 15-step comb-over, still promising to make America great again, still telling us he's, like, smart and cognitively there. He's not. He's still telling us he'll ban Muslims, still attacking, belittling, and demeaning everyone, and everything he feels diminishes his carefully crafted collective delusion in some way. Still insulting women, still making shit up, still gaslighting, still grifting, still swindling, still stoking violence, and still lying. And the press is still asking us if we should be taking him seriously. In the year of our Lord 2024, after everything we've been through as a nation and as a world with this fucking Looney Tune, after he said they should have hanged his vice president, they're still out there asking us if maybe we've missed the context and waxing philosophical on the differences and distinctions between taking Trump seriously and literally, just like they were doing in 2016. And to put this as succinctly as humanly possible, it's fucking stupid. I know he says he won't accept the results of the election if he loses, but it's Trump. Surely he's just being Trump. Yes, he was being Trump. And that same Trump did what? Refused to accept the results of an election he lost. He's still refusing to accept it. He enlisted a bunch of sycophantic, drug-addled losers to help him undo that loss. He summoned Captain Eyepatch, no, not Crenshaw, Rhodes, and his merry band of roid-raging rabid thicknecks and a whole bunch of other very fine bigots in coordinating khaki to the Capitol to interrupt the certification of the election he lost. He was hoping to send members of Congress fleeing the scene out of fear for their lives and have them not return in time to make his defeat officially official. Trump, being Trump that day. Knew Pence was being actively hunted. And what did he do? He sent out a tweet to the zombie horde that he had another courage to do what was right. As a DIY pop-up gallows was erected with his VP's name on it, he took to Twitter and chummed the waters of deadly retribution. He added fuel to the flame. And it could have cost Pence his life. Trump wouldn't have minded if it had. That was Trump being Trump. We watched the events of that day unfold with our own eyes and ears. We know it was horrifically violent. We know it was terrifying. We know Trump did nothing to stop it for hours. We know that the Capitol Police were beaten brutally. And it was a gut punch for all of us. I don't care who you voted for in 2020. If you weren't a Trump loyalist to the core, that day shook you. And what is Trump saying now about the perpetrators of that attack? Now that he's no longer saying they were sent by Pelosi, well, at least not most of the time, that those homegrown terrorists are political prisoners, that they're hostages, and he's vowing to pardon them all. But don't take him literally. It's just Trump being Trump. Just as it was Trump being Trump in the context of the auto industry when he said that there will be a bloodbath in the country if he loses. We spent, what, a day and a half maybe outraged by the threat and a week plus on the context conversation? The context is political violence. The context is Ma and Pa, Get Your Gun MAGA, hearing their Yamdai deity telling them what they'll need to do. They'll need to draw blood. So much blood, it'll be a bloodbath. All in his name, because he is doing all of this for them. Although he's not doing a damn thing for them other than hating who they hate and saying he wants to hurt who they want to hurt. Aside from that, it was stand back and stand by all over again. And as we now know, the Proud Boys did stand back, and they did stand by until they were summoned. And thankfully they failed, and they're all in prison right now, a place Trump very much does not want them to be. Because he wants violence. He wants the threat of violence. So naturally, in yet another instance of Trump being Trump, this past Easter weekend, in the middle of his $60 Bible blowout sale, he posted a video featuring imagery of President Biden bound with rope on the back of some asshole's F1 small in the pants. And it made news for about a day. But like always, the press did the same. What do you have to say about images like these? Pussyfooting with the so-called sane Republicans who invariably didn't see it, but wanted to talk about the invasion at the border instead. Not only did Trump post that video, but he also spent the Holy Week inciting violence against the daughter of the judge in his hush money case, for which he was gagged and then gagged again. And then the press framed the entire fucking shit stew in the context of a deeply divided nation. The insurrection inciting bloodbath guy shared a video showing his political rival and our current president hogtied, and the mainstream media wanted to talk about it in the larger context of how divided we are. I don't have a photo of Trump hogtied on the back of my car. Do you? Not so sure this is much of a we problem. Seems more of a he problem. Worse than that, and frankly, this is strike two for someone I have long since admired, but Jon Stewart took all of this much, much further. He actually poked fun at anyone who did make a deservedly big deal out of it. He didn't just do a don't take Trump literally downplay of it. He made it seem like we were being ridiculous for finding it extremely worrisome, to say the least. Has he been asleep the whole time he was away from TV? That's the only way this shit makes any sense. Because Trump doesn't do a fucking thing he doesn't mean when it comes to exacting retribution on his enemies. He doesn't follow through on any of his policy promises unless they're baked in the hate cake. And he's not being playful when he posts a video of Biden being harmed. He's giving instructions. How John doesn't understand this, I'll never know. But the world has changed while he was avoiding it, and he doesn't seem to be coming up to speed nearly fast enough. Sure, there's lots of shit we can and have to laugh at. But downplaying violence is one of Trump's objectives, normalizing the crazy, not taking him literally. That's why he constantly repeats the animals line and the poisoning of the bloodshed and the day one dictator insanity to dull the blow each and every time so that we all get over it and get used to it. So that when he acts on his threats, whole swaths of the country, an entire political party can brush it off as peaceful patriotism and make him their pick for the office they once upon a time acknowledged he tried to steal. John has to do better. The press has to do better. We all have to do better. This shit is not normal. Donald Trump is not normal. Political violence isn't a fun little game of pin the toadstool on the Ivanki. He is showing violent images. He is using violent rhetoric. He is threatening violence and stoking violence because he wants violence, just like every authoritarian in the history of time. What does he have to do? Literally shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue, something his lawyers essentially just argued he could, before people start believing him? It's 2024. You can get a margarita drone delivered to your hand while you swing on a hammock in your backyard on a hot summer day. The world has changed. It's evolved. Trump hasn't changed. He's not capable of change. But our responses to him have to change. We have to take him literally and seriously, always. Our democracy requires it, and lives literally depend upon it. And just to reinforce this entire point, in the last several days, a Trump supporter rammed his truck into an FBI gate in Georgia in an act of attempted violence, and a man was arrested for sending terroristic threats in the mail to Letitia James and Judge Ungaron. If they touched Trump's properties, he was going to seek lethal retribution. Just as it was on January 6th, Trump's messages inciting violence are being received loud and clear. And we need to be paying full attention. My guest today is Heather Gardner. Heather is a comedian, content creator, television host, producer, and writer whose bold stance on the news has established her as an outspoken voice in today's entertainment landscape. Heather has a distinct level of experience. She holds a broadcast journalism degree and was at the forefront of content creation, producing content for esteemed platforms such as Huffington Post, AOL's Build, Variety, Yahoo Entertainment, Fandango, Rotten Tomatoes, and more. She's had regular columns on Entertainment Weekly, Yahoo Entertainment, and HuffPost, and published her first parody children's book, The Mean Orange Man, in 2020, which sold out on Amazon. Heather has hosted her own show three times and recently launched her first podcast, The American Resolution, under her production company, Rat Trap Entertainment. She is also an accomplished stand-up comedian with credits including The Comedy Store, The Hollywood Improv, Flappers, and more. I've known Heather for a couple of years now, and she is an absolute blast. She is very smart. She is very funny. She keeps it real. And I absolutely love talking to her. And I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. Welcome to the Are You Effing Kidding Me? And a very, very happy birthday to the one, the only, the sunshine of my life, of the world's life, Heather Gardner.
Wait a minute. Your kids are going to be so upset.
Depends on my mood. Sometimes I like them better.
Fair. They're like, finally, she's gotten a new light of her life.
She really needed to get off our backs, all right? But it's your birthday. It's your birthday. Yay. I had no idea. And now I feel so special.
Yeah. Well, of course I had to spend my birthday with you.
I mean, duh. I would have gotten you something. Here, I got you. I got you. Yeah, look at me. Oh, two things. I can't believe you didn't know I knew what you loved. So I got you this Easter egg we haven't cracked yet in Egg Wars. It says NYY for the Yankees. That's for you.
Cute. I do like the Yankees. So we're off to a good start.
Hey, how about it? And then it comes with this coordinating cup. You can put it in there. I got that for you. I'm not just pulling random things off my table, okay? Why would you say that? I also got you this banana.
And you didn't even know the bananas were my favorite.
Yes, I did.
Or maybe you did. You did know. You did know. Yeah.
I did my many researches and I got that. And so I got you that banana. And then, of course, this is the really good gift that I'm not just pulling off my table. Is Laneige. It's the viral. I got this for you. It's the viral lip gloss that all the viral TikTokers are glossing with. It's for you. Okay. I'm just going to try it because it's for you. But I got it for you, not me.
So yeah, well, let me know. You had to just make sure it was a good gift. Is it how good of a gift is it?
What if it's poison? If it's poison, then
you're a really good friend though to right. just get that out of the way before you give it to me.
Exactly. So yeah. I would throw myself in front of a poison viral lip gloss.
Poisonous viral lip gloss.
this peach or what? In French, is pêche.
Jojo, I am so glad that our friendship has made it to this level where you will poison test things for me.
I think it was actually, I think it was here. It was already at this bar the minute we met. I was already ready. I was ready to jump off the balcony at the White House where I took an inappropriate picture with the Washington Monument that I've been trolled for ever since. But
Oh my
I think that was the moment when I knew I would die for you. I would
God. Amazing.
throw my hand across a blade for you. I would. What else
Amazing.
does he say? But yeah, so for real, happy birthday. I did not get you a banana and a really rotten Easter egg that needs to probably be thrown
No,
away.
you know what? You can send me that lip gloss.
I mean, it's a royal roof.
I love all the TikTok girlies keeping me young.
I
I'm
know.
getting old, evidenced by today. So I need all the new trendy things.
Well, the girls are keeping it real. I mean, 10-year-old, like my daughter, 10-year-old, get ready with me influencers with more expensive skincare than I have at 49.
Dude,
Right?
I saw those stories that came out. Like, that is wild to me. Wild.
Their skin's still naturally exfoliating. They're like still producing all the things they need to
They still
produce.
have collagen. You don't
Yes.
need that
But they have been convinced that they need the drunk elephant and they need the Stanley Cup and
And
not the.
the videos of these little girls that are like 8 years old in full like glam makeup. Like, looks better than my makeup, by the way. I mean, like, I was a little kid once too, and I put on makeup as
Right.
like a plaything. I did not go out in public looking way hotter than my mom.
Right? And when your mom's like rifling through your skincare and you're 10, there's a problem with this equation.
It was just fascinating to me
Yeah.
that that's kind of where we are. And now Sephora, and I haven't noticed the 10-year-olds in my Sephora, but my Sephora is like an old school one, like tucked in a mall. So, little kids revitalizing the mall.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that is true. They are doing that because my kids are always, can we go to the mall? I'm like, oh, the mall. The only reason I want to go to the mall is for an Auntie Anne's pretzel. That's it. I want to go get an Auntie Anne's pretzel and I want to leave. But they want to go to the mall. And yeah, it's all Sephora and Ulta. And they've gotten so smart. I swear this is politics podcast, but they've gotten so smart because they're embedding Sephora and Ulta in like Targets and a Marshall,
Yes.
not Marshall's, Kohl's.
I have a Target that's right across the street from my house. Like, we can walk to it, and there's an Ulta in there, and I love it. Of
Yeah.
course, here in LA, everything is behind the clear plastic. You got to get a person to come over and unlock it for you.
Really?
Oh yeah, that's the whole LA thing. They lock away toothpaste. I can't buy sleeping pills. I can't buy tampons
Why?
because
I
they
don't
lock. Have you not been watching Fox News? Okay, now we're
understand. I mean,
actually
wait,
watching.
is this part of the migrant crime wave? I don't know. I don't understand.
Hybrid cities. So they literally lock away. I don't even think we can buy laundry detergent without asking a Target person to unlock it from its case. But certainly not the makeup, like the expensive drunk elephant and all that stuff. I
That's
appreciate that it's there, but it takes me a while to get it.
See, that's interesting because if I'm drunk elephant, I'm like, that's a deterrent to my sales, and y'all need to figure this out. But okay, no, here we could just grab whatever. I could literally just stuff that shit right in my up my shirt and run out the door, and it
Well,
wouldn't.
I'm living in Biden's America. I don't know what
Yeah.
America you're living in, but in Biden's America, we lock away our laundry detergent.
Well, I don't know about you, and I was going to ask you about this, but I know for a fact because Donald Trump tells me every day that I was way better off 4 years ago than
Oh
I
yeah.
am today.
100%. Dude, we posted a video on this yesterday,
I saw.
and April 3rd, 2020, was the day that he told everybody the CDC guidelines for the masks and like, hey, they're really, really effective. And then he couldn't help himself. He's like, but if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. It's like voluntary. Like, I'm not gonna do it. And if you don't want to do it, like, that's cool.
Leadership? Like, we're talking about a global pandemic, the likes of which the world has hardly ever seen before. And he's like, it's
It
up to
is.
you.
It's laughable to me that, first of all, that they're using this as a slogan, that they're like really, really trying that hard to forget that we were in a global pandemic 4 years ago, right now, and they're being like, "Hey, were you better off?" No, the F we were not. We were not okay. We have not been okay since. I'm not saying that the pandemic was Trump's fault or anything, but you led us through. Led us through the worst time in many of our lives. You cannot just sit here and be like, aren't you better off than 4 years ago? No, we were not.
I mean, it was the Hunger Games to get a roll of toilet paper.
Dude, we couldn't get any. We were still. Bill Maher had a really good segment on this. Bill and I have an interesting relationship because I like to watch him. Sometimes I hate watch him. Sometimes I agree with him. Sometimes I don't. But I actually really like his segment, his new rules segment that he had at the end. And he was talking. He talked about this too. And he was like, "We were washing our mail." We were sanitizing our mail. We used to like throw beers to each other over fences to get social interaction. Like I fought more with my husband during that time. Mm-hmm. We'd been together 10 years at that time. And we had fought more in those first 10 months of the pandemic than we fought in the entire 10 year long relationship we had had thus far. It was not a good time.
No, it was not. It's like compressing. It's compressing all of the things that like drive you crazy about somebody that you already cohabitate with, and it's just like, wait, hold on. There's nowhere for me to go to escape you ever. It's just nonstop us. Yeah. That's a lot.
The fact that I feel like so many people do forget, and not. I think there's like the science aspect of it. It's like, my brain's going to like block this out. Like this is a real scientific thing where our brain blocks out trauma. So we don't remember these things. Mm-hmm. But then there is a concerted effort from the GOP that is like, that never happened. Yeah. What are you talking about? Trump's 4 years were great. Trump's 4 years were amazing. What are you talking about? A pandemic?
Well, actually it was masterful. He saved the world. This is what they do. They constantly have to whitewash and revise actual history because actual history looks terrible for them. I mean, they did that with January 6th and with great success. So it's like Orwellian, essentially. They're rewriting the past and hoping that like in that reshaping of the truth that people, if they say it enough, that people will be like, oh yeah, I mean, really, was it so? I don't remember. But to your other point, like when you have kids, when I gave birth to my son, I had an emergency C-section. It was the most horrible pain I've ever been in. And I was like, I can't do this ever again. And then of course, you know, 3 years later, I'm having my daughter. And I was like, what pain? I don't remember. And then of course, after she was born, I was like, oh my God, what have I done? You just like selectively, your brain is like blocks out trauma, like you said. And a lot of people, that was some of the darkest shit we've ever been through. Like, you know, you said, people lost so many loved ones. And we had an absolute freaking madman at the helm. Again, this idea that he said to people, I don't know if you want to wear a mask, I'm not gonna. They have studies now that what he did in the actual, like the worst of the pandemic was sort of not pushing mask wearing, not pushing, mitigation measures in terms of social distancing, coupled with how he did not push the vaccines that were created under his administration and could have been a win for him. They think upwards of 500,000 American lives were lost as a combination direct result of those two things. If he had just done more to be more competent, it's crazy.
It's crazy. And like the site that we sourced for our video yesterday was, if you listen to Trump's advice in a myriad of things, not just the mask, but again, like with the vaccines later on, with all this disinformation, the Fauci, you know, all this stuff, pushing people away from the experts and into more of like the polarized stuff, you were three times more likely to die in a Trump voted like county, city, whatever it is, than you were in like a more Democratic city. Just to kind of show you like the line of thinking of people, you know, you were three times more likely to die. Like these are just facts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Right. And then they would turn around and say, and they'll still say to you, oh, well, those are lies. You're choosing your facts. So you can't convince me that COVID is a hoax. COVID was created by the deep state. I mean, they will select whatever facts they want to fit whatever narrative they want to reshape the past. Like January 6th, those are political prisoners and hostages. And it was a peaceful, patriotic event.
Yeah, I mean, at least Trump has finally come out and said that it was an insurrection. He caught himself doing it the other day. I think it was in a rally. He was doing something and he said the insurrection, then he goes the but he finally at least admitted it, that it was an insurrection.
But that's the thing too, is like he can't even settle on his own set of facts because he constantly contradicts himself. It was Nancy Pelosi. He'll still say that because he said when he was mixing up Nikki Haley, when he was trying to say Pelosi, he was still, this is only a couple months ago, he was still trying to drag Nancy Pelosi for the events on January 6th. But then a day later, he's calling the people who participated patriots and political prisoners. And it's like,
Which one is it? Was this an effort from the Democrats to make Trump look bad, or were these people fighting for you patriots? Like, you cannot have it both ways.
But the cult is like, okay, sure. Oh, we're here now today. Okay, yeah. And then, oh, no, we're here now today. It's like, yeah. It's like, they don't care. They don't need receipts. What? No. They just want to feel good in that moment.
It's funny to me, too, because, like, I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, Trump versus Biden and the old man versus old man number two, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I do wonder what it's going to look like when one glorious day, neither one of them are running for president sometime. Wow. I hope not too distant future.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to me what, like, Trumpism is going to leave behind, because Trump is such a unique figure who can and is seemingly getting away with all of these things, and his true, like, cult-like followers, and then the people who are just going with him, you know, for whatever, the people who truly, truly love him, and not just because they don't want to vote for Biden, who truly are one of his followers, what are they going to do when he's not around?
I mean,
what kind of vacuum is that going to leave?
I've constantly asked this of every former Republican and current Republican who's not a Trump Republican or a MAGA Republican that I can find. And because, you know, what does it look like on the other side? And I'm presuming there will be another side, an other side, because in this race, it's a binary choice and it has to be Biden. But we can talk about that whole, like, waffling over the old man thing too, because obviously if we don't pick the right old man right now, we don't get to 2028 when we can pick from a wide swath of people. But I don't know.
They're probably going to be old white men. Let's be real. They're just going to be different old white men.
Well, that's true. But then we're also going to have Kamala. We're also going to have Gretchen Whitmer in the mix. We'll probably have, trying to think, maybe Jocelyn Benson, although Whitmer runs probably not. I mean, I don't know what Katie Porter's going to be doing, but I do think, you know what I mean, that it will be certainly more diverse than what we've had for the last many years. Hopefully. Right. Right. And there's certainly no default candidate in 2028. But we got to get to 2028 first. And we're only doing that on the Biden bus. We're not doing it on the Trump bus. But I don't know what the Republican Party, it's really MAGA, I can't even call them Republicans anymore, what it looks like on the other side of Trump, or if Trump will be in prison, which is another thing that everyone has different opinions on. You know what I mean? What are your thoughts? Is I'm assuming, and I'm not, let's just say in a world, perfect world, he loses, which, come on, let's be sane here.
And on all things.
Right. Does he go to prison? Do those trials obviously move forward? You don't think, most people, I would say, don't think so either.
I don't think so. I think it's possible that he'll be convicted of crimes that could put him in prison. I don't think a judge will do it, though, because it's such a high security risk. I think he'll probably live out his days in house arrest, you know. A lawyer friend of mine actually said that they would never intentionally put a person in danger by incarcerating them. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you're rich, you get even more privileges, and right. White and a man, you get even more privileges.
Right.
And he'll probably just have to be on house arrest for the remainder of, you know, for whatever his sentence will be. And if it was big enough, like, the rest of his life. I don't think we'll ever see him in jail. Mm. House arrest would be nice, though.
I mean, I would take it. I think if you are going to put him under house arrest, you have to take his ability to utilize social media away. Like, you just have to take, his ability to continue to poke and prod and stoke and incite violence. You have to take that away from him, because what we've seen now is that he is, of all of his awfulness, like, this is, should be disqualifying. He cannot fucking stop. He cannot help himself. He has been gagged and re-gagged. And I hate thinking about him gagged, because it's a disgusting mental image of just him being gagged. Yeah, but he can't stop attacking the judge and several judges. But he's not just attacking the judge. He's attacking the daughter of the judge. And he just can't stop. So, like, he won't stop. And we're seeing violence in his name, because we just saw the guy crash the car. They haven't conclusively said this yet, in Georgia, the FBI entrance. And now, did you see this story today? A couple in Lancaster, a man in Lancaster, maybe Pennsylvania, maybe New York, I'm not sure, sent letters to Letitia James and Judge Ngoron saying if they seized any of Trump's properties, basically that they would be killed.
Oh, wonderful. No, I did not see that.
Yeah.
That's
terrifying. Right?
Okay, cool. We're just going to let that one slide. But I think here's the problem is that, like, on some level, we keep letting it slide, mm-hmm. you know? First of all, from, you know, he could have been gagged so many more times. Like, it's like, don't you, it's like they're wagging their little fingers. Don't you say anything, Donald, don't you do it. And then he does it. And it's like, oh, well. And then he just keeps doing it and keeps doing it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Republican Party is not holding anybody accountable because they just see him as the way to get their policies through. And they're right that he is a useful idiot to the establishment and to people like the Heritage Foundation, who wrote Project 2025. And I hope we get to that. Yeah. You know, those types of people who really want big changes in our country. There's absolutely no reason to think that they can't get it again. Look at where we were 4 years ago. You know, 4 years ago, I had a right to an abortion. And for now, I do not.
Right.
And that is 100% because of Donald Trump and the promises he made and the three justices he put on the Supreme Court. So they aren't going to hold him accountable. They're just going to use him to get what they want. Mm-hmm. And we're in this endless cycle of he gets to do whatever the fuck he wants.
It's maddening. It's what's so maddening about it is that, you know, he named himself, or someone did, Teflon Don all those bazillion years ago. And like, oh, he's not Teflon. And then you're like, wait, did he just wiggle out of, wait, did they just push that? Wait, did he just do that? And there's no, like, what are they going to, as a parent, you can't, if you tell, and I'm shitty in this regard, because the kids know, I don't really mean that. But like, if you tell your kids, these are your consequences if you do this, and they're like, okay, and do it, and you don't hold firm to those consequences, they're just going to do it again.
Yeah, learn. Exactly.
And getting back to 2025, like you said, you have been doing videos about this, because this is something, they've even taken it down off the website, I think, even though it's not going away. They just
put it back up, actually. Yeah.
Oh, they did?
Okay. Down and back up. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about, give us a little bit of an introduction and a little explainer, and then the meat of what is Project 2025.
What is Project 2025? I feel like I am like the leading expert on this right now, which is wild to me.
Yeah. No, it's good. Honestly, it's a good thing.
It's something, you know, that my husband and I do a lot of this content together. And he was the first one to bring it to my attention, because it really was this thing that people were not talking about, although we have changed that. I'll get into that. Mm-hmm. But Project 2025 is the literal playbook, the 900-page document written by the Heritage Foundation of policies to enact if Donald Trump gets elected, because obviously they're not getting any of this stuff done under a Biden administration or under a Democratic administration. But if Trump gets elected, they want to enact all of these different things through policy. And it is like your Handmaid's Tale worst nightmare. It's that. Hmm. It's like, I mean, take away rights for women, take away gay rights, LGBTQ plus rights, take away DEI. We're talking about inclusion. We're talking about diverse voices. We're talking about, you know, people of color, all of these things, and really make America great again, make America white again, make America 1950s again, whatever you want to say. It is so strikingly that. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I said, it wasn't mainstream talk, although it is starting to become mainstream talk, in part because people like me have been talking about it. When Lauren brought it to me, my husband, my producer brought it to me, I was like, this is crazy. And we started digging into it. We started a series, which has gone extremely well. We've gone viral with it a couple of times. Just getting out the word of different pieces of this thing. We did the first one was just like an intro of what is Project 2025. You may have heard about it, you may have not. It's this blueprint. We're, you know, going to get to it. The second one was about the Heritage Foundation, because you have to understand who wrote this document. And the Heritage Foundation, which is wild to me, and I learned a lot like looking into this. The Heritage Foundation is an organization that has worked with every single Republican administration since Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. And they called Ronald Reagan the best friend the Heritage Foundation ever had. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, it's a group, it's a think tank, it's a right-wing think tank who truly believes that America is a Christian nation. So Christian nationalism, just check that there. Men and women have a specific place. White men especially have a specific place. And when Reagan was in office, the playbook that they put together for him, which was not called Project 2025, but was called whatever it was, Ronald Reagan enacted 2/3 of those policies. So they are highly influential in the highest office of our land. And, you know, so now we're on episode 3. We talked about Christian nationalism, because I think it's important to understand again, like where all this is coming from. And they truly, 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 they cite the Bible in this document. They cite that, they cite the Bible. They want to infuse religion into our governments. They want to, one of the biggest striking things to me was that they want to take away like the federal floor of our schools. They want to abolish the Department of Education and give the control of schools back to the states. And we have state senators saying we're a Christian nation, we're a Christian nation. And they're acting accordingly as opposed to the, like, what's going on in the Bible rather than what's best for like Americans. So that's as far as we've gotten so far in our coverage of Project 2025. But it's been really, really exciting to see people watch our videos, and there's tons of other creators talking about it. Now the Biden administration is talking about it. Yesterday, actually, we were featured on Today Explained. I don't know if you know that podcast. One of my favorite podcasts, but they were talking about the rise of influencers and the rise of social media people talking about this. And they used one of our videos it's so fun to demonstrate this. But to me, that's saying that like we're doing something that's working. People should know about this. And obviously people are not going to, a regular person is not going to dive into a 900 page document. And I think that's what they're counting on. I think they know that people aren't going to just look for this kind of stuff. And so it's up to us to pick up the pieces that are most disturbing, most interesting to us, and let you, the voter, know about it. So you're informed.
Yeah. I think that's crucial. And I think what's also crucial to that, and thank you for doing it, is because they are, it's by design that it's 900 pages long, and it's by design that it's, you know, very wordy, and it's by design that the language used is coded, so that it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look so scary.
I don't know how coded it is. It's coded in a lot of like legal jargon. Mm-hmm. Like I have a hard time reading it. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know some of these words or whatever, but it's pretty effing pointed when it comes to what they want to do. Like they define a family. They define a family as one man and one, this is amazing, unrelated woman. They at least specified that.
I love it. Y'all can't, okay, one woman, but she can't be your sister. Okay.
This is going to be our part 4 is like their view of the family. And they say right at the top, their number one objective is to get American families back to being successful or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then they define what a family is. And it is such a narrow view. Mm-hmm. Again, one man, one unrelated woman. They specifically say that a man's role in the family is to be the protector and the provider. And it's the woman's job to be the nurturer. Mm. This is not coded language.
Right.
I mean, this is their views. And then right underneath that, it's how they would take policies to make sure that a man can be the provider, the sole provider, and the woman can stay home and do the child rearing. And it's backed up by policies that they want to see enacted in America. So I wouldn't say that it's coded. I think it's very, very pointed in what they want. But you're right. Like people are just not going to read a 900 page document.
No, and they don't, most people don't have the time and the wherewithal. Luckily, they have people like you out there and your husband who are doing the vetting and making sure that, first of all, you're trusted. That's the thing. You've established this, you know, mantle of I am a trusted source for information for you. So when I'm telling you something that you may not know and you do not have the time or bandwidth to read 900 pages, I've done it. I've read it. I've sifted through it. I'm going to give you the top line things and you can trust me that I'm telling you the truth. Because what people don't realize is two things. They are putting it out there, like you said. They are telling you this is our roadmap. And they are hoping that people don't believe it. And they're hoping that people aren't paying attention because people, not everyone, but largely don't really yet really fully grasp what's at stake.
Yeah.
And they're telling you what's at stake and hoping somehow you will also somehow not notice at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a brilliant strategy to just never talk about it. I haven't heard Trump say Project 2025. I haven't heard any Republican say Project 2025. I think we're just starting, you know, it's like April now. We're just starting to get into this cycle, even though it feels mm-hmm. like it has never ended for people like us, you know, but America and the general people who don't want to infuse their lives with politics, because we are crazy. We are absolutely batshit, yeah. you know, yeah. and I get it, but the people who don't want to their lives with it are willing to do it because there is an election. And so mm-hmm. we're just starting to talk about it now, which I think is really, really great. And I want everybody who reads it to give their honest opinions about it. And I want to see more videos. We're going to continue to make more videos on this. It's important stuff. And the more that I dig into it, I mean, like Lauren and I have like a desk that like sits together, his computer here, my computer here, mm-hmm. and we'll just sit there and we'll just pick parts to read. And then I'll be like, oh, no, babe, what? Like, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's shocking. Mm-hmm. It's shocking what's in this document.
And they're not saying it out loud in terms of, this is from Project 2025, page 2020, page 216 or whatever.
Right.
What they're doing is now Trump's out they're selling Bibles, right? Which is, can we just be real here, people? This is literally like a 4-year-old was asked to draw their idea of a con man. And like that, this is what they came up with because it's so beyond parody. But the part of that strategy, the strategy with Trump, but is that he's constantly saying, we need more religion. We need to get religion back in. This is the least religious person there is. But we need to get more religion back in our schools, religion back in our society. And that's folding in Project 2025, like it's more subtly, so to speak.
I mean, I don't think people realize too, we said this in the very top of our third video, we played that, you know, we need to make America pray again. That is a direct quote mm-hmm. from President candidate Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. We need to make America pray again. And that's a promise. Like that's not just a saying, that's not just that. This is the blueprint to make sure that that actually happens. Mm-hmm. Like in the first few pages of their you know, document here, they say they define God. They say the founders wanted us a Christian nation under God and a very, very narrow view. Their version of what it means to believe in God, their version of Christianity, you know, on all these things, really just dispelling any other religions, that we are a Christian nation. We were created under God. We have rights from God and we are going to infuse that. We're going to start acting like it, basically. Mm-hmm. But you see Donald Trump holding a $60 leather Bible and you're like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that's a great slogan, make America pray again. And I don't think most people realize there's a law for that in a book, in a playbook that they want to do. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think they're taking him seriously. And I think we're past the point now of being like, you know, back, you know, take Trump. What was it like? Don't take him literally. No, I think we can start taking him literally. I think we can start taking him seriously at this point.
Oh my God. That is a question that I was going to ask you literally and seriously, a question I was going to ask you because right. I wrote about this on my Substack the other day because it is so freaking frustrating. 2024, a lot has changed in the world. I was saying, like, you can order food with your face now. They have, like, Dr. Pepper flavored peeps. Like,
I saw those. Oh, that's so gross.
Right. You could tube in a Zoom. And I know that sounds crazy, but you know, we live in a world where tubing Zooms is a thing or was a thing. And still could be a thing. You know, like Jeffrey Tubin on his Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, back in 2016, nobody was, you know, flashing their wankers on Zoom calls. We just weren't doing that then. The world has changed. But you know what hasn't changed? We're still playing this stupid freaking, oh, it's Trump just being Trump. Take him seriously, but that literally, even bloodbath in the context of the auto industry. And it's frigging maddening. Like, no, he doesn't mean it when he says anything policy-wise that is not, you know, that is good. Anything that's not baked into the hate cake. But when he says he wants a bloodbath or there'll be a bloodbath, why are people not taking him seriously and literally still?
Yeah, I might have to disagree with you a bit. Taken into context with the auto workers and what he said about the bloodbath, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. I'm not gonna sit here and I do read between the lines. I do, but in that specific context, I can see why. You know, Fox News. I mean, the fact that Fox News has to get up there and defend their candidate because he used the words bloodbath that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But for that specific one, I do believe that he meant it in the context of like losing jobs. Really, 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 really poor choice of words. But I mean, like, no, we should though take him seriously when he says we want to make America pray again, or, you know, we should take him seriously too when, you know, he's holding the Bible and he's got this, it blows my mind because people are, I don't want to say that they're dumb, but I think there's a lot of people who truly believe we need to make America pray again. And this whole idea of like changing hearts and, you know, changing minds, I think they believe that in a very, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. I think they believe that in a very not so literal way. Like, we should all believe in God, and it wouldn't it be great if we all, crime would go down if we followed Jesus, and if we did, God better our communities. That, like, it's a very, it's not as literal as he is really promising. You know, I don't think they understand what that actually means to make America pray.
Yeah.
Like what that actually means. And so we should take him literally. We should take him seriously when he says these things.
Yeah. And he says he'll deport people who are non-Christians. You know what I mean? Deporting people is a really big platform. It has been always since 2015 and 16 is the Muslim ban. And he's doubling down on that now. And the irony to me about this idea, and I say it's P-R-E-Y, make America pray, because he's a president, right?
Yeah.
But like, we're talking about a guy who, whether or not you want to, you know, split hairs on this, is an adjudicated rapist, was found liable of sexually abusing E. Jean Carroll, is now indicted on 80-something charges now that Georgia dropped some, stole our nuclear secrets, you know, mocked a disabled reporter, attacked a POW, fought with the Gold Star family. Like, this is, the guy is everything that Jesus would have espoused against. And this is what they're holding up, and versus a practicing devout Catholic in Joe Biden, but like, Trump is what they're holding up as, this is what we need to get back to. And the cognitive dissonance, right? Like, how do they get there where Trump can be, you know, the bearer for what all that is Christian and godlike?
It blows my mind.
Right?
You know what? I will never forget the day that my worldview was shattered. Like, I think I've been following Trump now and covering him on a professional level now for going on 10 years since the day that he announced he was running for president in 2015. So we're on year 9 now. And even before he got elected, I've been following him since day one, because he was a celebrity and I was doing celebrity news and he was running for president. So we've been following along this entire time. And I, at the time, was not like super into politics. I was starting to, my worldview was starting to change. I had lived in LA from the South for a long time at that point. I had been married for a little while at that point. My worldview was starting to change as I got older and as I got out of like my home and started living in other places around the country. But I remember when my worldview was like shattered by that notion that Trump is not who you think he is. You think he stands for one thing. You think he's for Jesus and you think he's for Christians. and he's not that. How can you, my Christian friend, how can you, my Christian family, how can you, who say the most important thing in our entire lives is Jesus, look at this man and see Jesus? And that had changed. It changed everything for me. It was like glass had shattered in my mind, that people that I grew up with, family and friends, who were all in the church, who I looked up to as leaders in my life for moral support and moral guidance, can look to this guy and say, that's the guy for me. That's what Jesus would do. I was like, oh, absolutely not. And my world has never been the same since then, because I, being the big mouth woman I am, could not shut up about it.
Thank God.
It might be a little bit easier for me if I could have just been like, okay, guys, moving along. But no, I could not get into arguments with these people. And the first iteration of videos and, you know, things that look like this, a giant, studio in my house, was just me on Facebook arguing with uncles. just be like, wait, what do you mean? The Bible says this and this and this and this. Like, the dissonance, wild to me. It has been wild to me for going on 10 years now. And then the fact that, like, everything that we have seen happen since then, like, because there was, I remember something that my dad said to me when Trump got elected. He was obviously very happy. And he just goes, give him a chance. Why don't we just wait and see? Why don't you just give him a chance? And I promise I tried. Okay. I promise I did. But now, with everything that has happened, there is no, let's give him a chance and just see. No, we know. We know what is going to happen. Why are we doing this again? Why are you falling for this again? No. It's one of the banks of my life and existence. Lord.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I need a drink. This is coffee, but I need something else.
Here, I hear you. Cheers to that. But here's the thing. There's a bunch of layers there. Because, I mean, the fact that I love this about you so much, and you're one of many people that were like, I can't shut up right now. I can't. It would be, your life would be so much easier. My life would be so much easier.
Life would be easier. My career would be easier. Right. My relationships would be easier. I am definitely, guys, speaking up is hard.
Especially when you come from a world where you know you're sort of the outlier and not the rule. You're the exception. And you're still like, I can't sit quietly right now. This is too important. This is crazy. But I mean, again, it speaks to, there's a lot of things there. Number one, thank you for that. Number two, we have a lot of people who are activated by Trump, which is you and me, I think. I mean, you left a career in, you know, entertainment news to do this. But then there's people who are activated by Dobbs. And then there are a bunch of people who did vote for Trump twice. And now they made their voices very clear in voting for Nikki Haley. Even when Nikki Haley, and I say it like Trump did, Nikki Haley, and they voted for her even when she was out of the primaries. And those folks, everyone says you can't reach MAGA, obviously. You can't reach the hardcore Republicans. They don't even think they're Republicans anymore. But these folks, these Nikki Haley voters, they don't like the bans on abortion and the attack on IVF. And they do want, you know, common sense gun control. And they don't want the Trump crazy. So they don't, the January 6s and all the trials and all the things. But they don't know that they have a home with Biden. They're like, can't vote for Trump. Don't know if I could go that far to vote for Biden. But like, I personally really do think there is a lane for them, a home for them in this election. Let's be real. I'm not asking them to continue to vote for Democrats forever. That's a bridge way too far. But to get to the next contest in 2028, where, you know, we can pick from a wider field, how do you think, or do you think that they are reachable? How do you think we sell that message to them? Because they are looking for a home. They don't have one. They're Republicans who don't think they have a home right now.
You know, it's funny. I feel like you had a version of this question to me the last time we spoke, and I don't think I have an any better answer. Sorry. How many credit code have we figured that out yet? I don't, that would be nice. That would be nice. Yeah. You know, here's what I think. I think, again, like most of America, and it's perfectly fine that people do this, will tune out. You know, they will tune out of politics, especially after the pandemic and the daily constant barrage of the politics and the news that we had to consume at, for some people, for a lot of people, was the worst time of their life. I'm not blaming them for maybe not for tuning out the last 3 years or so. Great. Good for you. I hope you got all the rest that you needed, but it's go time. You know, but I think people tune in when they have to, and they don't understand that like this has long affecting consequences. I think a great example of that would be, you know, what Trump accomplished with Roe v. Wade and overturning Roe. You know, restoring back the rights to the states or whatever they want to name it. Whoa, why did it do that?
You got confetti. Wait, say
that
gold.
That was not a confetti moment.
Say gold. Let's see what happens.
Gold. Was it because I was clapping? Okay, we'll see if it comes up again. I don't know.
That was crazy.
I was like, Zoom, that was not the moment for the confetti, okay?
Was it do this? No. No,
what the heck?
Oh, it was your birthday. That's okay.
Maybe they were just celebrating my birthday. Right.
Weird. No, anyway. You have a ghost. You have a confetti ghost.
I do. That was really strange. And at the worst time, we're not celebrating that. Okay.
Super weird.
Zoom is a Trump
supporter. Just one little flake.
What are we talking about? Anyway, no. Yeah. I think we can't tune out is the thing. And the biggest example, going back to what I'm saying before the confetti, the biggest example of that is the long-term effects of a short-term president. Okay. Trump got 4 years, but in that time, he was able to undo 50 years of precedent. And because of that has opened the floodgates for God knows what, you know, God knows, and the Republicans know, they know exactly what they want. And the thing is like, we think of elections as every 4 years, and I hate to say it, but like Democrats do too. Democrats are terrible at the long game. You know who's good at it? The Republicans. Dude, they have been setting up for 50 years to overturn Roe. They've never tired of it. It is a long game. Politics is the long game. And so when people say, I think there is a mindset right now of people who don't want to vote for Biden who go, well, we survived Trump the first time, we can survive him again. I think we just need to make clear that that's not entirely a given, you know, right. Especially when you look at all the things, again, back to Project 2025, we haven't like released videos on this yet, but we've been looking into it. And like, it gives their plan gives the president, which will be Trump, unprecedented power. I mean, we are literally at a moment in time where there are court cases deciding if the president has total immunity from any crime, including murder. Like, these are not, I'm not just saying that. These are the hypotheticals being presented in court now. We are having these conversations. This is not a, you know, cast your ballot, wash your hands clean, see you in 4 years thing.
Mm-mm.
Politics is the long game, and I think we just really need to, I think people need to understand that yes, it may suck to vote for Joe Biden. You don't agree with him on every single thing. Great, neither do I. Whatever, you know, whatever. But we have to think about the long-term negative effects either way. And I just think it's a much better chance that we're still going to have an America after Biden.
Right, that's the thing, right? Like it's a binary choice, and it's I think it's also a sort of reflection on the way the generations have shaped the way people expect to have everything they want sort of tailored to their specific wants and needs all the time. And that's just a commentary on society as a whole. I think that we've seen that. Where it's like, what about me all the time? You're not going to ever find your perfect dream date candidate ever, ever, ever. But for me personally, I feel like it's a binary choice between Biden has never one time ever, never, ever said he thought he should be able to serve forever and be a dictator on day one, right? And he's never said, I'm going to decide whether or not I think women should have a ban that's 15 weeks or 14 weeks or 16 weeks. And then also while bragging about taking that 50-year right away from them. And like, I again, it's one of those two people, because this is what we're left with, whether you like it or not. And if you wanted to change the players, you had to act a long time ago.
And to be
And if
fair,
you
I don't like it. I love Biden. I love what he's done. I wish, you know, I wish we had other options. I do. I do.
that's fine. This is a democracy. You are 1,000% entitled to that. I will never begrudge you that feeling and that conviction. But you also are still going to be voting for one of the two primary people in this binary choice. And I am of a different mind, because I am of a Biden stan almost to a fault, and I love him, but I also know he's not perfect. Believe me, I know he's not perfect.
I love him too, and I also
Yeah.
know he's not perfect, but I also
Right.
I like I mean I also know that like he's old. You
Yeah.
know, he's not the future of
No.
America. And yet I say that, and then my mind goes, but Heather, he's gotten more done than any president in the last 50 fucking years. What do you say? What are you
Well,
saying?
there's that, right? And there's that, which is massive, but there's also, for me personally, this idea that I do think for this moment, we're not ready right this second for whatever the next wave is. We had to kind of get through this weird sludge of like, what is happening? And then now we're teetering on the edge of losing it all. And we have somebody over here who's been around a really long time who knows how to carry the torch forward, and that's the whole objective, while doing the best he can, and doesn't want to, you know, condition the next wave of what that looks like. In fact, he and Pelosi are fostering, they're building up and sort of mentoring this new generation, like Hakeem Jeffries, et cetera. But like, again, and I get it in a lot of trouble for being such a Biden stan, because it's to a fault. He's not perfect. No one's ever going to be perfect, but when the binary choice on the other side is Trump, and you know what I mean, you have him out there bragging about stripping us of our 50-year right and talking about staying in power forever. I mean, it's like you just kind of have to be like, all right, yeah, this isn't ideal for me, but I gotta pull the lever for this guy so I can have a choice in 2028.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth on that one. We have one of two options. And I think right now, like it's to give Trump that much power is dangerous, one, for, you know, just the country in general. But it's also like the Republican Party and people who really are like MAGA fans. We have emboldened them to a point. Like it was pretty rough, like the last, you know, couple years of his presidency. And obviously we saw that all culminating with January 6th, right? We stopped it. We put people in their place. Whether I know that some people believe that they were patriots that day, but the rest of general society thinks they were criminals and they are in jail. Okay? We let it happen again. How do we come back from that? You know,
Right.
how do we come back from that?
Right.
How
Right.
do we do it?
Well, we it's again, I just use the Francis Scott Key Bridge as sort of a metaphor for this, because the Francis Scott Key Bridge was named after the person who wrote our Star Spangled Banner. It was inspired by the waters it crosses, and it collapsed, and it can be rebuilt. I do not think that if Trump were to win, I don't know that it would be how long it would take to rebuild this, you know, democratic republic for the trolls out there. But this democracy, it's that's the kind of attack that with somebody like him who believes he's above the law and is, you know, running to evade accountability from the law. I just don't know how we recover when we've got people in there, would be in there, like Mike Flynn and Steve Bannon and Roger Stone and Stephen Miller and, you know, Jason Miller and all the penis head Millers. But that's what really scares the shit out of me. And I don't think it's hyperbolic. I think we've seen these signs before throughout history. I think the hate speech should terrify us all, right? And it's another playbook out of the authoritarian's playbook. But specifically, I want to talk really fast. I want to talk about why, again, the Christians believing he's Christian is one thing, but how can any woman, any educated woman, let's just say, vote for someone like Trump, someone who's called women dogs, someone, again, who has bragged about sexual assault, someone who is liable of sexual abuse, and the judge said what he did rises to the label rape? Like, what kind of cognitive dissonance is going on there? Like, you got Nancy Mace, who's a rape survivor, supporting a rapist. I mean, I feel like they're not selling a case. I mean, Charlie Kirk's out there telling 30-year-old women that they're past their prime. How can they get any women voters? And then again, like, you know, how do we make this plain to those women voters who might be on the fence? I know the same question I asked you before, but I feel like, is there a way that they're not hearing this messaging yet that we can tell it to them so that they do? And how is any woman voting for him anyway?
I know a lot of women. I know a lot of women who are voting for Trump.
Wow.
Who did before, who will happily do it again. Your guess is as good as mine on why, but I think we first, like, God, it's really a difficult question. I think they just don't think it's that big of a deal. Mm. I think if it's not affecting them personally in that moment, that it's, you know, whatever. And there's so many women, like most of the women in my life who are voting for Trump, really, really, really praise the fact that he overturned Roe.
Hmm.
And even because we had conversations back in, you know, 2016, when this was all going on, like, how can you vote for him? Like, you know, I remember talking with a woman in my life who literally said, I cannot vote for Biden. He kills babies. As if Biden was out there, wow. Like literally murdering babies.
Yeah.
But it was a single issue reason for this woman in my life. And that really struck me. And I, in my mind, I'm like, but all this, and this, in my mind, I'm just seeing all of the reasons why I would or wouldn't vote for a person. And sure, abortion rights was and is extremely important to me. But I would have never just picked that one thing to vote for a single candidate one way or the other. I would have picked out a tons of different things, like pick 10 reasons, you know, whatever. I just could not understand why they were willing, and they were willing to set everything else aside, everything else for that one thing. And these are people with extremely, you know, they would say moral beliefs. I think it's a bit misguided. I don't know that I would call it a moral belief, but yeah, I mean, when you truly, truly believe that like a baby is a life, and you know, I can see how they can like make that leap of logic. And to them, anything else is just kind of noise. Like, okay, yeah. So fine. So he slapped a lady on the butt. Okay, happened to me when I was like, you know, like that kind of thinking. That was another direct conversation from another person in my life. It was like, okay, we've all been sexually harassed at work. Okay, move along. You know, these types of mindsets. And I will say that it's mostly a traditional set of mindset, especially when we're talking about women. These are people in my life who I know who have very, very traditional values. I think they would probably look at Project 2025 and be like, yeah, the man should go to work. The woman should stay home. It should be man, woman, like gay marriage, whatever. This is the way that God wanted it. Like, there are truly people who believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. I don't think that's the right way, but there, I mean, I'm not going to discredit that this is what people actually believe. How we reach those people and how we change those people's hearts and mind, I don't know. I've been asking myself this question now for 9 years. I don't know. And these are people in my life that I have had intense conversations with over the last 9 years, some really angry conversations with over the last 9 years, some really enlightening and deep conversations, and even fruitful ones over the last 9 years. I ain't changed anybody's mind.
I mean, I think you're right. I think there's obviously people who are 100% fixed and set in their positions, and then that, and I think they probably don't think this impacts them because it doesn't impact them at this moment or directly, but they can't anticipate the ways that it might impact them if it's other things that are implemented. You know what I mean? But I bet a lot of folks who voted for Trump or Republicans in general did not see the attack on IVF coming. And Republicans, again, that dog that caught the car, were like, "Oh shit. We Alabama, y'all just told on us. We were supposed to be hiding that shit. Now all these women who want a family plan and Mike Pence and shit are like, "Wait, no, IVF is good." And then it's like, hold on a minute. Let's think this through. Because if their feeling and opinion is that, and for many it is, that it is life at conception, how do you have IVF? How you're not having that conversation where that's a direct contradiction? Because if those embryos are not ever, implanted, and their plans are to implant them all, whether or not they're viable, that's the goal. But like, that's when I think maybe there's an opening for that conversation, because these women who were like, "No, abortion is terrible," and I get that too, I do, but they're like, "Wait, I didn't see the other side of how this might impact my daughter, myself." Maybe there's an opportunity for conversations there. You know what I mean? Maybe not with the women in your life who are really set, and I get that too. But I think maybe for as we've seen in so many red states with these ballot initiatives, I think a lot of people are like, "You know what? I think this is too far." Maybe they
I
want to
hope.
have that conversation.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I really do. But I visit my I'm gonna say homeland, the South. My homeland. No. I mean, I visit the South probably two, three times a year, and I have, ever since I left. I don't see anybody change. I mean, the laws have changed, the circumstances have changed. I remember having a conversation with someone about birth control when well, this was a few years ago. This was before Roe fell. I remember having a conversation this because Marjorie Taylor Greene got up on the House floor and said, "Birth Plan B kills a baby," and that's untrue, and so I'm having a conversation because at the time we were having conversations like in our communities about, "Oh my God, they're going to go after birth control. Like this is what's going to happen." And this person like did not believe me. They're like, "What are you talking about? They would never do that." Well, they are. They have. They are continuing to. The laws are changing, but the minds are not. The minds are not changing. And so I'm glad you're optimistic
I don't know that
about
that's the
it.
word. Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to continue to keep having these conversations and continue to just keep talking about different ways to reach people, but I don't have solutions. And that's annoying to me. I'm a type A person. Okay.
Yeah.
Everything in a spreadsheet and get it
Right.
all figured out. I like things in a nice little bow. I don't like things messy at all. And this is messy, but it's also super, super important. So I even though we don't have the answers, we're just gonna keep doing it. I mean, at this point, I think it's just kind of like those undecided people. And I don't want to say like give up on the people, they're too far gone. Like I'll never, never do that. But when we're talking about like an effort to li a literal effort to win an election, like maybe it's the people that haven't decided, or maybe it's the people that are just haven't been paying attention. You know,
A thousand percent.
maybe it's the women who look at this and like, okay, well, the abortion thing, well, I'm not gonna get an abortion, so I don't care. Like, you know, whatever it is, like a little more flippant. Because like there are people like you and I who are like super passionate, and then you got the flip side of that too, the people on the other side who are super passionate, but there's a plenty of people in the middle that are like, oh wow, abortion's gone. Oh, that sucks. You know, and that are a little bit more flippant about it, not understanding the far-reaching implications of what has happened or what could happen if we just continue to let it happen.
Right. And I think, again, that we are out there just having the conversations and making the content like you're making, highlighting the realities and the truth and the risks and what's at stake and what's actually happening. Sometimes just doing that and somebody stumbling upon it and being like, wait, hold on, what did she just say? Or something happens in the world where, for me personally, my friends are pretty much the opposite end of the involvement spectrum, where my girlfriends are like, I don't want to talk about politics, Joe. I love you. I just don't want to talk about
Yeah,
politics. And I get it.
I feel my life like that too. Yeah, it's totally fine.
Right. And then all of a sudden, something will happen, something crazy will.
Oh yeah, they text so fast. They're like, wait, what?
Right? And it's like, yes, hello. Come in, let's chat. And they're like, what did you tell me? And it's like, it's okay, I get it. You weren't engaged. That's not your fault. I get it. I get it. I'm insane. I do this like you do this all the time because this is what we do, because we don't know how to be quiet and we don't want to
I
be
don't know how
quiet.
to not do it. I think
Right.
about quitting every day, and I'm like,
Yeah.
oh, what else am I gonna
Well,
do?
and frankly, what you're doing, let's talk about patriots. Like, what you're doing is truly patriotic because you're doing this because I believe the greatest expression of love for our country is saying our country can change, that our country can be fixed, that not fixed, that can be improved, that we can keep moving forward, that we can criticize it for where it fails us, and then we can address that. That's, to me, the greatest expression of love of country that there is. And you do that. Right. And you do that. And I think, again, that lends you so much credibility and legitimacy. And people are like, well, you know what? I don't agree with everything Heather says, but I know she loves our country. And I know that she is giving, more than I do, me the credit for being able to come up with my own thoughts, even though Joe's over there telling me I'm a fucking idiot. But that's okay because Heather's giving me more benefit of the doubt. And I appreciate that because I'm never going to vote for anybody because Joe told me to, but maybe Heather will convince me otherwise. And I think that's like incredibly important, but we just have to keep having these conversations because Republicans keep giving us more shit to talk about where you're like, okay, they did this now. Did you see this one? And it's like, oh, they did that. I didn't know they did that. And this is what they're promising, like Project 2025. So if we're just out there having the conversations, maybe someone will be in a vulnerable moment and they'll stumble across it and be like, oh, I didn't know that.
Well, you
You
know what?
know?
Just to give you a little more optimism, I don't consider myself like a pessimist person, but that kind of stuff does work. Like, there's not a week that goes by and has not gone by in the last like 4 years where someone is not up in my comment section or up in my DMs calling me a bitch. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, but they do that too. No,
I'll kick
but
your ass. It's her
yeah.
birthday, bitches. Don't.
Shut up. That's what I get all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, this one guy the other day, I posted a stand-up thing about Trump, and this person was like, wow, that's a weird kitchen this woman's in. I'm like,
Really? Ouch.
I know. Anyway, no, but
Good.
to be honest, there's not a week that goes by where someone is not up in our DMs saying, I was not engaged. I did not know about this. You know, whatever it was, your videos helped me talk to my mom. Your videos made me informed on this issue. I wasn't gonna vote, but now I am because of your stuff. And like, Dude, that's what keeps us going. It's just like we really are like making a difference. Like back to the Project 2025 stuff. You know, we put stuff up on the internet. We never know what's gonna hit. We have a general sense of, you know, what's gonna do well and what's gonna reach the most eyes and stuff, but we never truly know. And sometimes it's a big surprise when things like take off, especially when nobody's talking about it. But in the Today Explained episode, what they were saying is like the Biden administration was not talking about Project 2025, like as a at all. And then they saw that people on TikTok, like little old me and you know, little old you on the internet just talking about this stuff. And now they've created a strategy. Like, dude, we are making a difference. A difference. We had a social media video that actually, I don't know if you remember this, but there was like 15 states, red states that decided they were not gonna feed children over the
Oh
summer.
yeah, I saw your video. Amazing.
We talked about one specific guy in Nebraska, the governor of Nebraska. We pointed out something that no one else did. 6 weeks later, that legislation, like he changed his mind. And like local newspapers were crediting social media pressure. That's all of us, okay? That is, it's activists working together, like in the moment. Like those people are super, super important. In fact, I think they're like the heart of any movement and any organization in this country, because they're doing the hard work. And we just get to sit in our nice little chairs and talk about this, but it's all working. It's all an ecosystem of change. And it works. So don't shut up. Keep
No.
talking. Keep posting about things that you think, you know, are important. And just know that, like, we are making a difference and you can make a difference. You know, maybe you don't have a microphone to talk to. How many Twitter followers do you have now? Like
16 or 17, something like
Look at
that.
you, look
Or
at you.
14. See, I don't
Something
know.
like that. Maybe you don't have that type of microphone, but you do. You are a microphone to your girlfriend at happy hour, who was wondering, hey, am I going to be able to get birth control if I vote for Republicans? You know what? Now you're educated enough to tell that girl, you know, or whatever it is. Like, we all have a microphone. It's just some of them are larger than others, but we're all making a difference.
I love it. And I totally agree with you. And I will say this other thing is that most people now statistically are getting their news from social media personalities, influencers, whatever word you want to use, creators, content creators. And it goes back to that trust thing. But these are their sources. And what you do so succinctly and so successfully is you bridge this gap between policy and process that they just don't want to engage with, and you put it in words and with, you know, graphics and pictures that they're like, that makes sense to me. Oh, okay. And then they can digest the information and then they can make informed choices on it. But like, you are the middleman. You know what I mean? That's sort of like you're the translator, so to speak. You know what I mean? You're speaking the language they speak so that they can then be informed to make the decisions that are right for themselves and hopefully for the future of our country. And so it's an increasingly invaluable service that you offer and provide. And don't ever, just never ever shut up. I swear to God, I will never forgive you if you do. And I
Okay,
know
fine.
you're
So you're
going to.
telling me I shouldn't listen to Joe Schmo 62457 in my comment section? He told me to shut up. I shouldn't listen.
Does he have an American flag next to his handle? Because that makes all the
Oh
difference. Okay, well then yes, I'm sorry. I don't make the rules. Those are the rules. If he has an,
I said that.
if he has a.
I've been working on a joke for months about how like it's I attract such a certain type of troll. They always have the American flag in there.
Oh my God. And when they add that eagle in there, it's like, oh, this fucker is for real. He's got an eagle and a flag. I
And a
think
cross. Oh, if they got
always
the
a cross.
trifecta,
Oh yeah.
the American flag, the bald eagle, and the purple
Oh
cross.
yeah, they're angry jerking off to all sorts of inappropriate things in their private time. That's what they're doing. And then they're just getting going after you and me. Yeah, do not shut up. Don't listen to Joe. Lots of numbers, American flag, American eagle, fireworks, America, whatever he is. Don't listen to him. Don't shut up. I am certainly not going to listen to the people who tell me that I'm a heroin addict who's been married 5 times and that this is my drug den and that my kids have been taken from me. I fuck you.
I don't know. It's looking a little quiet in there. You said you had kids and not one of them came in. So,
What are cages for, Heather? Because that's what I told you. Be quiet. I told you. I fed you last week. It's not time for feeding again. Did you wipe your ass? No, I don't have any cages. Trolls. They just. I'm not allowed to see them. I'm barred by law. I made my kids up. Yeah, these Easter eggs were dyed by me for show. Yeah, and this one has a cross on it that just naturally appeared. I don't know, that's a sign. But for real, don't ever shut up, and thank you for what you do. And we know what's at stake in November, and we have fucking badass advocates out there like you guys kicking ass, and we're going to talk about what you've got in store for us coming up into November. But before we get there, we're going to just do a random sort of rapid fire question round that has nothing to do really with all of this. And I decided to do something normally I do like a random, just random questions. I decided to do a different format today. I didn't know it was your birthday, but this, I guess you could call this a birthday gift, although it's not. Yeah. I mean, that's what the banana was for. Okay. Have you know the game Fuck, Marry, Kill, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We can change kill if you want it to be like throw a, you know, blueberry pie at, if you're not comfortable right. with that, because a lot of people aren't. I mean, I am, but it's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I'm a terrible person, but okay. So whatever version you want to do of fuck, marry, okay. tomato pie, blueberry pie, kill, whatever. Here are your choices. Okay.
Okay.
Brett Kavanaugh, Sarah Sanders, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Well, you tell me, got to fuck one of them.
You got to fuck one of them. I'm so sorry, but you got to fuck one of them. Those are the rules. The guy with lots of numbers, the American flag, and the eagle told me so. So I, who am I?
I don't like this game, Joe.
Listen, I mean, you got options. You got, I mean, you don't know. Sarah's got the curves.
Okay. I'm gonna fuck Brett Kavanaugh, but I'm gonna fuck him over.
Oh, okay. I like what you did there. I see that. I'm picking up. Okay.
We're gonna marry RFK, because you know what? I just feel like I could be a Kennedy. Like,
I could totally see that.
American royalty. Go ahead.
Dump him after you get the last name. You're like, yeah. Thank you.
Just write me in the will. Mm-hmm. Let me have a museum of all my fashion, and right. we'll be good. Yeah, okay. yeah.
Perfect.
Taylor Swift will write a song about me. It'll be great. And Ooh. Then we gotta throw a blueberry pie at Sarah Sanders because she's a liar.
Yeah. Such a liar. Lectern liar.
Not a very good one.
No. And she wants to put kids back to work, which is also in Project 2025.
Like, yeah, they're not waiting on that one.
Arkansas now too. Arkansas, I mean Missouri now too, yeah. And that's all part of the voucher scam and all of that. Yep.
Oh yeah, Florida. Oh, we could just keep going for days and days and days.
They're endlessly awful. Well, thank you for participating on my on your birthday in my first time of that game this podcast season. And I appreciate that you didn't resort to violence, because that's violence is wrong. And yeah. I don't want anybody to die either, but a blueberry pie, I would definitely abide. Okay, so let's really fast talk about what's behind you, what you were working on, what you got coming up, because it's going to be exciting.
It is very exciting. I'm super excited about it. And you're the first person that we're like giving a little promo to. So like, we scoop. Decided to like pull out all the stops for you.
I got the scoop.
Right, so
you first, folks.
We are, in an effort to not shut up, we are starting a podcast, which we're very excited about. It's called The American Resolution. And basically, we're going to focus on people who are not waiting on Washington to solve some of America's biggest issues. We are talking with real people who are really making big waves in their real communities. We're not waiting on Washington to get this stuff done. I think, and there's such a huge, there's so many problems in America. And if we just wait on Washington to get them done, we will never get them done. So we are just finding people who have created innovative ways to get around Washington and make changes in their communities.
I love it. I love it. That's a conversation we're not having enough. And that's where you can
really, I agree. Really
change. Yeah.
I mean, and it's going to be like comical and satirical, because that's what we do. Super sarcastic. Like, that's our vibe, kind of late night show esque. And, you know, it's funny. We've been working on this project for over 2 years now. And we presented it to a lot of, you know, big wigs in Hollywood and all that stuff as like a late night show. I wasn't man enough. What can I say? I just wasn't. But what we were finding is like, Like, there's so many shows and these late night shows, which is my favorite form of news and, that kind of thing is comedies, late night comedy shows like The Daily Show and Last Week Tonight. But they just kind of present the problems and then stop the show. It's like, okay, guys, get out there and vote fit to fix all of America's problems. That's kind of the message of these shows, which don't get me wrong, I still love them. But I was just yearning for a better solution than just get out there and vote. And so, on a very small local level, we are just finding people who didn't wait for the laws to change, who just found ways to improve their lives and their communities without Washington.
I love it because that's really what democracy is all about, right? It's like really impacting the changes that you seek in the world. And I love that you're highlighting those stories because we need more wins. We need more good news. We need more empowerment. We need we need more encouragement that we, the people, are actually the ones who are in charge and we can change the world. That is 100% the truth.
And you know what? Maybe you look at something, you hear something that we talk about, and you're like, I mean, we've had like three interviews thus far for this podcast, which is launching very, very soon. And each time I'm like surprised that I didn't think of these things. I'm like, oh, wait, that's a really good idea. Why didn't I think of that? But now that I know about it, well, how can I make those changes? We want to inspire other people who are frustrated, and rightfully so, with our fucked up system. And we want to inspire them to maybe do the same in their own communities, in their own lives.
I love it. Too many of us, myself included, we're looking up top at that, just shiny object that is the top of the tickets in the White House and the
Those are
real.
important,
It is a
but
thing. Yeah. But the real foundations, those are the things that we can't overlook because that's what everything else rests upon. And we can't do anything about what's up there until we deal with what's down here on a level that impacts us immediately and daily and minute by minute. Well, so what else? Well, real quick, where else can they find you? Because they can find you on all the socials. Are you still on
yes. So
Twitter?
y'all better go and follow the American Resolution, okay? It's American Resolution Pod. And the rest of like our regular content is just Heather G TV. You can find us everywhere. X, we're still on X.
Me too.
It is what it is. X, TikTok, Instagram, and then the American Resolution. We have never done a YouTube channel before, but we started one for the American Resolution. So you're going to get not only a podcast version, but you're going to get a video version as well. And
Where's that confetti now?
Come on. Hey, you, confetti.
Just throw paper at you. Yeah.
Why? I don't understand
So
how that
weird. So random. But this is going to be a YouTube channel. This is exciting.
Yep, so you're gonna get it in podcast form, you're gonna be able to get it on YouTube form, you're gonna be able to get it in short clip form for TikTok and YouTube Shorts and Instagram and all these things. We're really, really diving in, and I'm so freaking excited. And I have big plans for this show too. And I'm just gonna go ahead and throw it out there because I believe in the power of manifestation. We wanna launch it as a podcast, and then hopefully, like leading up to the election, I wanna go to these cities. I wanna tour. I wanna go and I wanna go post up in Detroit. I wanna go post up at Bernie Sanders' house because we're talking about the 4-day work week. I wanna post up and talk to real people.
I love it. I love it. And you're so good at that. You really are so good at that. And humor and snark and sass are the best spoonfuls of sugar in existence to get people to. Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm so excited for that. So excited. You should also, by the way, you should launch a coordinating Substack. We can have that conversation another time, but
Oh,
I think
yeah. I don't know anything about Substack, so
Oh
you
God, girl, I got you. Because this is like my, I'm telling you, that what you're launching is perfect. We'll have that conversation offline, but it is perfect because those people on Substack are the most amazing community I have experienced. I'm not kidding you. They're so great. And this is exactly the kind of stuff that they want. We'll have that conversation offline. But anybody, if you're not on Substack, yeah, I'll go to Substack because Substack is amazing. Oh, girl, I got you. I got you.
looked at a Substack
Oh
in
my
career.
goodness. It's almost like the vibe of old school Twitter where it's journalists and experts and politicos and also activists and also just writers and then cartoons. It's the Wild Wild West in the best possible way, and it feels so like creatory. And I'm going to talk to you offline, but everybody, I'm telling you, Substack is the future for now, whatever the next future is. It's amazing. And that's where I highly recommend people check it out. It even has like a Twitter feature where you can almost tweet and people can reply. I love it. And you can do podcasts on there. You can do videos. You could do, I will talk to you all through it. But I'm telling you.
You're not going to find me on Twitter. You're not going to find me on YouTube. You're just going to find me on Substack now.
Well, no, but you go to Twitter. You're going to go to this YouTube channel too, because it's huge. And this is going to be amazing. And you're just going to parallel that. You're going to tie it all together. It's going to be this whole universe where you're going to take over social media on every platform. And they're going to be like, oh my God, she's huge. She's everywhere. And Heather, you're going to take over the universe. I'm giving you the keys on your birthday to do that.
Thank you. I will. I might as well. Thanks.
I mean, you're as benevolent a leader as we could ever hope for. So, I mean, you have random powers, very random, apparently, powers of confetti. So if you can do that, you never know, like when you're confetti the world, and we will be better off for it. Well, with that, it is, again, you've given me so much of your time on your birthday. You're so much older now. I've taken up like a tenth of your 36th birthday. You're almost 37.
Oh, no, don't you put those words. Just take them back, Joe.
Okay, you're not even close to 37, because 37 is...
Thank you.
Old. Yeah, but thank you for giving me so much of your birthday. Thank you for giving this country and this world so much of your time, your attention, and your advocacy, and your wonderful, ebullient, I think that's how you say that word, but I mean bubbly, spirit, snark, and sass. We've met in person. I know you're the real deal. You're an incredible human being, and you bring light and life in every room you enter, and then the world is darker when you leave the room. So and you have fabulous shoes. So
this is gonna get me in trouble with Feet Finder, but I'm not actually wearing shoes right now.
Oh my God. That is the first foot on my podcast.
Your podcast is now on OnlyFans. I don't even know the power that I just unleashed upon you.
Hey, foot fetish people. Hey, foot fetish. You can I'm cutting my ad. Hey, foot fetish. Hey, foot fetish people. Are you out there looking for a new foot to follow? I have found the foot for you. And her birthday is it too. I made a rhyme. Please welcome Heather Gardner's foot. There is hot, hot. That's a sneak peek in all of its naked glory.
I wish I can't. My leg doesn't go that way, but it's like the bottom of my feet. At least it's clean.
Okay. This is a specific OnlyFans for bottom feet only. If you're
am I a bottom? Is that now? Is that what I?
You're a bottom footer, but if you're
this conversation has gone off the rails.
I'm shocked. I can't believe that with us talking. What are the chances? But I mean, you unveiled the whole foot. So
I did.
So racy. It was so fleshy. It was like, And so if you're a top footer, sorry, but if you're a bottom footer, you can find us.
Fleshy. I love it. I don't think anyone's ever described my foot as fleshy.
It was so fleshy. It was so fleshy. And you know what? I love too, because it really just speaks to your soul.
Aww.
You see what I did there?
And on that note.
Oh my God. That was the worst dad joke in history for your birthday. I feel eye rolls happening as we speak. Okay. Well, that does it for this episode of the Are You Effing Kidding Me podcast. Thank you to my guest, Heather Gardner, on her wonderful birthday. Thank you to the universe for creating her 36 years ago today. Thanks everybody for listening and for watching and for joining Heather's Foot Fetish OnlyFans for the bottoms only. And thank you. I'm serious right now. I know at least one foot fetish person. I do. I don't know them because my foot has never footed them, but I know that it's their fetish's feet. Yes. Not mine. Not that I'm judging. Dude, you do your freak. I don't care what it is, but get it on if you want. Just not with my foot. But anyway, okay. Well, on that note, we've probably gotten kicked off of all of the podcast channels because of my sexy talk about feet. Heather, thank you so much for joining me for all of this time on your birthday, for your husband giving me your time on your birthday as well. Thank you for everything that you do. Massive fan. Guys, go out there and follow her and make sure you check out the American Resolution and the soon-to-becoming Substack, because I'm telling you, it's happening. All right. Well, Heather, thank you. And I love you. I love you. And because this is, again, my second rollout of my new tagline, Clothes. Well, Okay, Heather, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
Oh my God, you hang up first.
No. You hang up.
Okay, you hang up.
Are You Effing Kidding Me? Is a production of the Political Voices Network. Please visit us at politicalvoicesnetwork.com.